Guys, wow. I'm not really in preaching mode after that 10 minutes of socializing. It's a little bit different. Should we just have a chat instead? Met Robert. He does fasteners. Love a good stud and nut. That's the mode I'm in. Normally I come up, I'm like, oh, charged. Right now, I just want to talk about fasteners. So my name's Steve. I represent Compassion. You may not know this, but I love Pastor Richard and Pastor Joanne so much. Oh, man, they're like so long. I love Pastor Richard. Is that why you're louder? Give me louder, like Rena. Steve, you can go louder. Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it, Rena. I love Richard. So he mentors Amit and I. So anything you disagree with today, it's not my fault. Go blame your own pastor. It's your fault, sir. But I love him. I honor him. He is so on the cutting edge of what God is doing in our city. It's ridiculous. He's like right there on the knife's edge. And so much honor, much love. You amazing church, First Light. Two things you're amazing about. Number one, do you know you have the cutest kids in every church in Perth? I've never said this at a church before. I've probably spoken at 100 churches in our city. This is by far the cutest. Every single kid needs to have their own TV show. First Light, First Cuteness. Yeah, so congratulations on that. You're one of the guys. Everyone, and then my own kids, I feel like they're pretty cute too. So they're going to really fit in here. But what I also want to honor you for is you're sponsoring. Are you ready? 78 children with Compassion. That's ridiculous. Thank you. I honor you. That is so amazing. And in just the last 12 months, 262 letters have been sent between you and these precious children. Don't stop writing. Keep going. Give them, just like you're releasing these beautiful kids to go over east and serve, over next door and serve. Pray that these kids that you're sponsoring, pray for them. They would have that same boldness in their faith, that God would use them mightily and disciple them in your letters. So First Light is partnering in Thailand, right on the border of Myanmar and that kind of area around there, and also in Samar in the Philippines. Now, churches across the city of Stirling are focused together on Samar. And in the Philippines, over 23% of people live below the poverty line. And this is heartbreaking. This is what poverty really looks like in the Philippines. It is estimated that 784,000 people are trapped in slavery. Some say 1 in 12 people trafficked around the world are Filipino. And over 60,000 children are impacted by trafficking. This is not right. This is where the gospel needs to go. Oh, I agree with you too. Let me share a story about what poverty in the Philippines looks like. This is Michelle. Is that good? This is Michelle. And her parents said this to her when she was younger. They said, "You're ugly." This is what poverty looked like in their slum. "You're ugly, you're going to be a drug addict, a thief, or a prostitute." That's what her parents said to her. Her uncle came along and said, "Oh, this is church, local church on the road running this compassion program." And she got sponsored. And so she started getting discipled and loved and looked after in this local church. Still lives in the home with her family, but is loved and cared for. I said to Michelle when I met her, "So what do you do now?" She said, "I get all the local pastors' kids together on a Saturday and I get them to share Bible stories and we put it on radio and 500,000 kids listen to the gospel every week." I said, "That's amazing." She said, "This is so incredible." She goes, "I work with girls who are stuck in prostitution. I get them out of prostitution and I give them their own businesses and disciple them." I said, "That's amazing. Your parents said you'd be stuck in prostitution. Now you're getting them out of it." And she said this to me. I said, "How many have you helped?" And she looked down at me ashamed. And she said, "Only 115. I was like, "What? That's amazing. That's like how cute the kids are at First Light. It's ridiculous." And she said to me this. This is what she said to me. "In my city alone in the Philippines, there's another 100,000 girls stuck in prostitution. This is not right, my friends. This is why you're sponsoring these kids.
This is why we don't hold back on the gospel of the kingdom of God. We must see transformation. If that was my child, if my child was growing up in that life, it is not right. So I thank you and I encourage you for these kids. Keep loving them. Keep speaking life to them. I want to show you this story, and this is just a quick video to show you so you can see a testimony of a child in Philippines so you can see what it's like for these children and what God's doing through your partnership with Compassion. Yeah, thank you for 78 stories of children. My wife, come up. This is my wife, Roz. So we're here with Peter, my son. He'll be at the stand afterwards helping out. Charlotte is 5 and Lily is 2. And Rosie was just praying last night for you guys and something was on her heart, so she's going to share that.
Oh, it's such an honour to be with you all this morning. Not this morning, this afternoon, 3 p.m. service. How special is that? and in prayer last night, I felt the word appetite. And I had two psalms that were highlighted to me. For you guys, in this season, there is a stirring in our city in this season for the things of God. And to create our appetite for the things of God. I wanted to share from Psalm 119, from verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to your righteous rules. And in Psalm 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, and those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And I just felt the Lord was encouraging me and us today that as we give up the world and we shape our appetite for the things of God, that we will taste and see that the Lord is good and you will be filled. And in Matthew 4, it talks about blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. That we aren't hungry lions that go hungry, but that we'll be filled and we'll be satisfied as sons and daughters of God, and that as we shape our appetite for him, that he will fill us to the full. Bless you guys.
Thanks, Rosie. I feel like that really links well with what Rena was sharing earlier. So I've been writing this sermon and it really came from, I've been carrying, this is like the third time I've preached it. I'm so stirred for this message, but Pastor Richard challenged me last year and it's just been growing and growing and growing in my heart. It's Psalm 24 and the sermon is the King of Glory and the Kingdom of God. Psalm 24 is a psalm of David. And David was a king willing to completely humble himself to seek God and the blessing of God for Jerusalem. Here's my question. Have you ever completely humbled yourself for a great blessing? Maybe you've gone on a first date and taken someone to Korean food and you don't even like Korean food. Just humbled yourself. I remember Pastor Richard, when I took Roz out, I was chasing Roz. I wanted to take her out for dinner too. So I wrote her a letter, 10 reasons why you should let me take you out for dinner and 5 reasons why you shouldn't. Like, I want to give it both sides of the argument. So they're very authentic, very honest about where I was at. And, 5 reasons why I shouldn't, just give my humility there, Roz, just so you know. And then a conclusion, as you can see, there's more reasons to let me take you out for dinner. This is Daniel and I used to work together. We were working together when this was happening. That's how long ago it was, like 16 years ago. Dan and I used to work together, Daniel Bell. So I went over to Rosie's house and she'd just come back from a mission trip to like out in where you guys are serving kids, the Thailand, in corner of Thailand up there. And they just seen like 1,000 people in an unreached region come to Christ. Amazing. And she realized as she's in the bus, she's like, oh, I'm missing something. This should be enough for me. She's like, Steve. Steve. And I didn't know this. I pick her up in my car from the, and I take her to a ball that night. Today she comes back, I take her to a ball, like a dancing ball. And she looks so beautiful. And I get her on the dance floor and I'm just like ready to humble myself to win this girl. And I'm just doing all my crazy moves at once, Rossi. And she walked off the dance floor embarrassed. So I took her back on the dance floor again. Want to come try again, Rossi? It showed her all my moves. Don't think Michael Jackson, think the Wiggles. And just like ripping out move after move, she walked off embarrassed again. Third time, took her back to the dance floor, walked off embarrassed again. But the next day, thanks to the Lord speaking to her in Thailand, we got together and we got married. Now we've got 3 kids. So the point isn't that I humbled myself to her, really. Obviously, Rosie, thank you for humbling yourself to marry me. And now we've got our kids. It's been good, right? It's been good. But maybe you're like one of those people and like you've had to humble yourself to marry the person next to you. That's just give me a sneaky little nudge. I humbled myself for you, buddy. I get it. My wife gets it too. If you did nudge them, that's not humble. You've been exposed. But David was a man of incredible humility. And what I want to look at is how David's great act of humility really brought in the blessing and multiplication of God's work in the city. And then I want to look at how Jesus, the King of Glory, in his great act of humility, also brought in great multiplication. So Rosie and I, we've really felt strongly in our hearts this year, Psalm 24. We've been reading it and praying it for our city over and over again. So Psalm 24, a psalm of David. As a young person, David was anointed by Samuel to be the future king. And when David finally becomes king, many men and great warriors join him. It says this in 1 Chronicles 12, 22. It says, day after day, men came to help David until he had a great army like the army of God. One of the first things this army do is they capture the city of Jerusalem for the first time for the Israelites. And David desires to bring the Ark of the Lord into Jerusalem. And the Ark represents the glorious presence of God. The first time David attempts to bring the ark into the city, they come up with their own plan and they bring the ark on a cart pulled by oxen. And when the oxen stumble, a man named Uzzah touches the ark and he dies. And David is grieved by this. The ark is left where it was and the household where it was around. The blessing of the Lord fills the family and everything they had. And David is fixated. He must have the ark and its blessing in Jerusalem. So David assembles all of Israel to bring the ark of the Lord into the city of Jerusalem. This time, David moves the ark as Moses had commanded according to the word of God. He calls the priests together. And they consecrate themselves and they bring the ark into Jerusalem. And David, with all his heart and in great humility, dances and celebrates as the ark comes into the city. It is thought that David wrote Psalm 24 for the ark's arrival into Jerusalem. And I believe this is a very timely passage to stir us to see Jesus and his blessings come to our city and our nation and the nations. So as I read this, I want you to believe this passage for Perth and for the nations. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and those who dwell therein, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation
of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. I believe this is such a powerful passage for Perth this year, with the World Prayer Assembly happening in our city, with what God is doing in the nations, with what God is doing in here. This is so potent for us. So David is a new king with his great army, like the army of God, but in humility. He is dancing and singing and celebrating before the King of God. He is humbly announcing this. There is a greater king than him, the King of glory. David is saying this, all eyes on Jesus. He hadn't even met Jesus, but this is what he was prophesying, all eyes on Jesus, the King of glory. He is this, the king of the city, Jerusalem. And we need Davids this year who will say, all eyes on Jesus, that the King of glory would come to the gates of our city and the King of glory would bring his blessing. But Michelle, David's wife, mocks him for what he was wearing and how he was dancing. And David responds to her in 2 Samuel 6:21. He says, I was dancing before the Lord. Yes, I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. How low will you go to see the King of glory come to your family, come to your city, come to the nations? David, with his army around him, was clothed in humility as the King of glory came through the gates of the city. And one generation later, the city has the temple of God built, and the glory of God fills the temple, and the blessing of God fills the city like no other nation ever on earth. I love that David's humility wasn't just for the King of glory in his generation. His humility stretched to serve the next generation, that they would also experience even more of the glory of God. David was fixated on having the King of glory in Jerusalem, and this is a year to be fixated on having the King of glory in our city. How can we see the King of glory and his kingdom come to our families, communities, and cities? Let's look at the example of Jesus. Oh, isn't it great when you look at the example of Jesus? Oh, it's so good. Psalm 24 was regularly used in worship on the first day of the week. So Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem on the first day of the week before he was crucified. So it's very likely, as Jesus is riding into Jerusalem, they are actually reading Psalm 24 across the city of Jerusalem during the triumphal entry as he's making his way to the cross. When he entered, the crowds asked this in Matthew, who is this? The same words in Psalm 24. Had they known their time of visitation, they would have said, who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. But they didn't know their time. We must not miss our time of visitation. So Jesus, the King of glory, was journeying in great humility to the cross. The King of glory went to the cross to take the greatest victory. Psalm 24 asks this, and I want us to look at Psalm 24 from the work of the cross. Who shall ascend the hill, and who shall stand in his holy place? Through the cross, through the work of Christ's humility,
We are now in Christ. And in Christ, we are clean and given a new heart so we can stand in this holy place. Through the cross, we have the Holy Spirit now in us. As we rose in the resurrection, the Spirit of God made us brand new and came inside us so we can humbly lift up Jesus rather than lift up what is false. Through the cross, we can now speak truth with boldness because the Spirit of truth is in us. Through the cross, we were brought into right standing with the Father. We are His children, so we have all the spiritual blessings in Christ. And now we are one beloved family before our beloved Father. So now we can seek Him as one generation in Christ. We are in Christ together before our beloved Father with the Holy Spirit revealing the Father to us. And so we can seek the face of God together in the glorious love of the Trinity. Jesus' work of great humility has brought us into the Father, into the Son, and into the Holy Spirit's dance, into their glorious love, into the weight of the intimacy, into the storm of the Trinity, into the glory of the Trinity. We are deep together in the glorious love of God. And in this place of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we come into Scripture and these verses that Rosie read. I think this is a potent scripture for us. Psalm 2 verse 8 says this, and this is in that place of the Father, Son, and the Spirit where Christ, the King of glory and humility, has brought us into. The Father says to the Son, He says, "Ask of me and I shall give you the nations as your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession." The Father told the Son in Psalm 2, "Ask of me and I'll give you the nations." And the Son went to the cross. And now the Father wants nations for His Son. He wants cities for His Son. He wants people groups for His Son. And the Father is calling us into deep humility so we too can go and make disciples of all nations. On the cross, God has given us everything He has, including this, His humility. Where do you get the humility from? To, like David, see the glory of God come to the city. Like Jesus, see the glory of God come to peoples across the nations. It comes from Him. But how deep will we come into His humility? In His grace, we lay down our lives for each other, and His humility flows and His grace flows. In whatever way the Father is asking you to, lay down your life in humility. And watch what happens. Like a seed that dies and brings forth a great harvest is the humility that comes and brings grace. The meek shall inherit the earth. You cannot stop the blessing that comes from humility. How low will you go? This is the year where God is calling us so low. So low before Him. What do you need to give up to go lower? What are you feasting on? What's your appetite? What's the entertainment? Or what is it that you're consuming that's actually stopping you from going low and coming deep into the work of God? There is a grace to come low into the full humility of Christ. Don't miss it. There is a grace in this season to come into the full humility of Christ. Don't miss it. that there's grace in this season to come into the full humility of Christ. Don't miss it, because what's waiting is nations on the other side. The grace that will come from this is cities and nations. It looks like schools, it looks like families, it looks like communities coming to Him. How low will you go? I was talking to Peter before. He's been in your church for 6 months. I don't know where you are, Pete, but you're a bit of a legend, aren't you? There he is. Just, hey, Pete. Talking to Pete. And Pete was, and I were just discussing the younger people in our generation. So we are one generation, the older, the younger. Together, we are one. And the world mocks the young people in our generation. It looks on them with great pride. And when you look at someone with pride, you miss the beauty and the glory of who they are in Christ. But who's going to look in humility at the young people in our generation? Because if you look in humility, you may see the greatest army that's ever walked this earth. But if we don't look in humility, we'll miss them. We'll mock them. We'll see how the world's deceived them. But I tell you, the greatest army is walking the earth. And it's going to take us in humility to come and lay down our lives to serve them and to love them and to lift them up into all Christ has for them. The greatest army of peacemakers to ever walk the earth is before us. And we need to be the Samuels who anoint the Davids, the Elijahs who disciple the Elishas. They are male and female, and they will lead the church like the army of God, and they have kingdom assignments in their schools, in their families. They have kingdom assignments next door in aged care facilities. But we must release them. These beautiful children that you're sponsoring, you're not just sponsoring them. You're to release them. You're to pray for them and to bless them and to see God rise them out of poverty into the fullness of Christ, because He's raising up an army like the army of God. These cute kids, I tell you this, cuteness isn't enough, First Light. You got to go beyond the cuteness, and I know you are. You got to send them next door. What cute kids you've got. I bet David was a cute kid. He was so ruddy and handsome. Oh, David, you're so cute. I'm not cute. I take down lions. Oh, sorry, David. There's Davids amongst us. And we must put on our humility to see the fullness of who they are in Christ. My number one goal in life, men, my number one goal in life is that the way that I would love my wife, she would come into her unique fullness in Christ. That's my number one goal in life. My number two goal in life is the way that I would love my children. They would come into their unique fullness in Christ. Is your pride too much to stoop down and love your kids, to love your wife, to see them come into their unique fullness? It's going to cost, and you're going to have to sacrifice to do it. But humility brings grace. And there's so much grace when we come into the deep humility of Christ that God is calling us into. How low will you go? David humbles himself, number one. He repents from moving the ark his own way, number two. And number three, he does it God's way, and the King of Glory comes to Jerusalem. Number one, Jesus in humility goes to the cross. Number two, on the cross, he cleanses us from sin. And number three, he commissions us to go and make disciples of all nations, because he knows that he's going to have nations. The Father's going to give him nations. Now for us, in humility, we come together in Christ. We align in oneness. Two, we repent together from our dead works. And number three, we equip and commission this generation into their unique kingdom assignments in their communities, in their nations, and in the nations beyond. Humility leads to repentance, and repentance to commissioning. There's a movement of humility in our city, and if we come deep into it, we'll come into a deep repentance. Because God's calling us into so much more. And if we come into this deep repentance, the other side of it is a deep commissioning that looks like people laying down their lives in the most practical ways. The Father wants nations for His Son, but do we have the humility to come into it? He's looking for those who will come low into His humility because He's giving out nations and cities. In humility, let us be this one generation that seeks the Father together. If you can come to 2 o'clock, come. But come boldly to pray and ask for cities and nations, for families and next door neighborhoods, for aged care facilities, for primary schools. Together in Christ, we are unstoppable. But if we're not in Christ, we're pretty boring. But together in Christ, we are before the Father. In Christ, His love and His promises all around us, His Spirit revealing to them to us together, Him bringing us into great humility that we would come into the fullness of everything He's given us. Because as we come into the fullness of what He's given us, we realize there's so much for us to inherit together. So how do we do this? Just as Jesus humbly came to the cross, we humbly come to those around us and we lay down our lives for them as He laid down His life for us. This looks like praying. This looks like serving. This looks like discipling. This looks like humility and repentance and commissioning. This looks like giving generously everything we have. This looks like lives that are just laid down. This looks like serving children in poverty in Thailand and in the Philippines and to all Christ has for them. And then this, and then after this, the King of Glory comes and the Kingdom of God comes and it looks like righteousness and it looks like a flood of peace and it looks like joy. It looks like Jesus. He is the one that transforms all eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the one who is then lifted up in the cities and nations. All eyes on Jesus. If we would go so low, a generation would see Him. There's one thing they want from Christianity, and that's authenticity. And if we don't come into humility, all they'll see is fake religion that was made for an older generation. They need to see such a deep humility, such an authenticity that when they see us, they see the King of Glory. They see Jesus. They see Jesus. They see Jesus. It's going to take a repentance for us to get there. It's going to take repentance for us to get there. But our life is a life of repentance. That's what He called us to. It's an everyday repentance. If you're not repenting every day, I don't know what's going on. I need to repent every day over and over again. But when I repent, I'm not letting things go on the only on the cross. I'm coming into what He has for me. Every time I repent, I'm like, I take this thought. I put it on the cross. Beloved Father, what have You got for me in this area? What's my inheritance? I love compassion. I love the World Prayer Assembly. But they bow before King Jesus. No one puts their name over Him. I don't want to put my name over His name anymore. He gets all glory. King Jesus. All eyes on Jesus. And so I ask you, where is He calling you to go lower? Where is Jesus saying, come lower? I came to the cross, from heaven to earth, to the cross, to the grave. That's how low I went. I'm calling you lower. Where is He calling you to go lower? What does lower look like for you? What are you giving up from your appetite to go lower? I said to my son, Peter, I said, Pete, the difference between you growing in God in this season is you're going to have to give up entertainment to pray 10 minutes a day. Your Bible reading is fantastic, but you know It looks like giving up entertainment. Otherwise, you're not going to pray. Your life is too full of entertainment. I know what it's like. I have an iPhone and you have a Switch. But if you give it up, Pete, what is he calling you to give up today to go lower? Because the inheritance on the other side is cities and nations as the church does this together. My first question is that. My second question is this. On behalf of those kids out there on that stand, I ask you boldly, I ask you humbly, join us in releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. God is doing a deep work in kids, and compassion is serving that work of Christ. Jesus, come to every family in poverty and him grow and raise them up. Every child in compassion program from 12 to 20, they do our leadership training and we train them how they can be agents of change in their communities. We're raising up an army of God who transforms slums. Join us in this. You can sponsor after the service. It's $48 a month and it completely changes a child's world. You can sponsor a child or you can sponsor a project. We have projects that also serve the children. If you want to sponsor a project, come have a chat to us. First slide. Thank you for these beautiful 78 children. Now, I met Pastor Ryan here like 8 weeks ago, and we connected right away. Little did we know we were about to do 13 services together in the next 8 weeks. It's like, Ryan, we've been praying that God would give us people who grew up with compassion and can come and share the story. He's like, he came to Australia to hear his niece's wedding. And he's like, I was praying that God would use me when I came. And we were like, let's do this. So now he's just come to like 13 services. He was preaching this morning at a church. But Pastor Richard met him last week. He's like, come. He's like, oh, go do the double. So he's doing the second service today. So coming to share. Thank you so much, Pastor Ryan. Come up. And he's just going to share his story, his testimony of compassion. And as you hear this, I just want you to be so excited about these 78 kids. That's what you're serving.
Okay. Okay. Before I will share my testimony, I just have to share this one. I felt so uncomfortable coming up stage because a while ago when we get off the car, I felt a pressure under my pants. When I went to the CR, my pants was torn. So please don't mind my pants down there. I just have to share it so that I won't be bothered by this situation. Well, anyway, that will not stop me to share my testimony. Okay, whew. This is my 14th time to share, but I felt so conscious and so uncomfortable. But anyway, all right, my name is Ryan. I'm a pastor in the Philippines. I was the project director of a church running the Compassion Program, and I just want to share my testimony with you. Before our church partnered with Compassion, we had many problems with the community around us. There was a lot of poverty, violence, and theft. I remembered our church speakers and projector being stolen. There are parts of the community that if you go inside, you would be stabbed. When you go to the homes of the children, you realize it is really difficult. The children are honest. They will tell you straight that their life is really hard. You can think we don't have enough, but when you see what is happening, you realize that you do. When our church partnered with Compassion, we were able to care for the children in this community. These children that are sponsored received healthcare, nutritious food, education, and most importantly, they hear the gospel of God every week. Each child in the Compassion Program has a mentor who disciples them. Once a month, we would have a special service where we would invite the parents of the children that were sponsored. And now, some of these parents who were previously robbing the church are now serving in the church. Amen. We can go into the dangerous areas because the fathers of the sponsored children will say, hey, please don't hurt them. They are from the Bible church. This picture, that is Ray. He was heavily bullied when he was younger. He was very shy. Because of the ministry of compassion, he learned to play instruments and sing. He started to gain his self-confidence and learn how to take good care of himself. Our community and the people who bullied him were amazed because of his transformation. He is now a youth advisor and the manager of a Christian bookstore. He is also the music coordinator at his local church, and he teaches young people music. Another picture, that is Rachel. She was very shy when she was young because of their living conditions. They lived in a makeshift house in a very crowded area in our community. Through the compassion program, she was able to develop her self-confidence and discover her God-given talents. The staff encouraged her to follow her dreams. She is now a professional teacher, and she teaches Sunday school in her church. Running the compassion program through our church really changed our community. Many of the sponsored children are now accountants, nurses, teachers, engineers, and working for the church. The community saw the transformation of these children and the transformation of the families. My brothers and sisters, I encourage you, when you sponsor a child with compassion, you are helping a local church reach out to a child in poverty with the good news of Jesus and the love of God that brings real long-term transformation. You do not just release a child physically, but more importantly, you release these children spiritually so they can know more about God and can journey with God. God bless everyone.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Ryan. I'll invite the band up, and I'm just going to close and I'll pray, and then we can have finished with the song. Please stand up, join me in prayer. Father, we don't just stand here in this room like a church in a congregation. Father, we stand here because of the work of the cross. We stand before our beloved Father. We stand in Christ as clean as Christ is, with the Holy Spirit in us revealing the Father's heart. We stand not just alone before the Father, but we stand as one generation, as one family before the Father. And we ask you, beloved Father, take us deep into the humility of Christ. We're sorry for our pride. We ask, Father, we turn from our pride. I feel like my pride is like a whole truckload of pride. We leave it at the cross. And we ask for the unending humility of Christ to saturate us, to soak us right through our bones, right through our heart, deep into our knees, that we would bend low. Father, where pride has blinded us right now, I ask that you would open our eyes to see the generation that would seek the face of God. Father, I pray the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us to, the glorious riches that are in Christ, the power of the cross that is over every principality and power, that we would go so low on this earth, but so high up seated with our Father in heavenly places over every principality and power before you, Father, and that we would stand ascended in Christ, in the ascension of Christ, so low in the death, so high in the ascension, the resurrection. In humility, we say, Father, we ask for the nations, for your Son, that he would receive nations. Father, what's on your heart? Where has pride in us meant that our prayers have been me, 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 me? We repent. What's on your heart? What's on your heart, Father? Baptize us in your heart. What's on your heart for our families? What's on your heart for our wives? What's on your heart for our fathers? What's on your heart for our mothers? What's on your heart for our leaders? What's on your heart for our children? Oh, Father, soak us in humility that we would see what is on your heart for our children, that we would so lift them up, stoop us so low into the humility of Christ, that we would lift our children up into the fullness of what you've made them to be. Oh, beloved Father, loose us of our pride and bring us into the boldness of humility that sees the inheritance that you've called us to. Let the meekness of God flood the city this year. God, I pray you break the whole Babylon stronghold and sing a city like that, and let us see like the new Jerusalem just coming over our city this year. Jesus, the King of glory, marching into the gates of our city. And we pray this together as one family. All eyes on you, Jesus. For it is from you, Jesus. It is through you, Jesus. And it is to you, Jesus. To your name be glory. Who is this? It is the King of glory, strong and mighty, the one who has the army of God with him. To you be your glory, Jesus. May we serve you and love you as you come into our city.